is KE2GDQ listening for any calls.
KE2GDQ, this here is K2PCB. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, K2PCB. It's Wednesday. How are you today?
I know, it's this morning when I pre-packed my lunches. I have all these little reusable containers, and I do my oranges, my carrots, my prunes, my hard-boiled egg, and I've got them all stacked up in this container in the fridge, and I had a count this morning. I'm like, okay, I've got three left. Yeah, today is Wednesday. That's right. And Bill's back today, because Bill was out on PTO Monday and Tuesday. All right, today's Wednesday. That's awesome. So Wednesday's good. I am running a little bit behind today. I am on the road, obviously, but I am just passing McDonald's now, coming out of the village, so I am pushing it. I'll probably be rolling in right at the quarter two mark. Other than that, things are good. You?
Hey, I'm doing good. Woke up a little bit earlier today than I normally do, so I came down and I was listening to the 70 centimeter repeater. I can't remember I'd have to write that down. But there were some guys on there, local guys from Tonawanda, Buffalo area, just chit-chatting away. It was kind of cool. I should know that there's people on all the time, just maybe not as many people, but there's always people on, especially with the repeaters.
Yeah, and if you, and you could do this with Echolink as well. You could steer yourself to some of the Echolink reflectors or connect into an All-Star hub, and you can, you know, obviously Australia is busier, approximately 12 hours off from us. UK tends to get started a little later, end a little bit later. Earlier, end earlier. So you can catch those guys. There's oftentimes activity in the UK really early in the morning, at least what it seems like for us. So, if you do steer Ross's All-Star node, if you get up early, you could switch it to, let's say, the hub nut, and then come, you know, quarter after six or whatever, switch it back and or disconnect it, and that's a nice way to listen to some international chit-chat.
Yeah, I have been exploring Echolink. I actually connected through the computer to Ross's node and your node, and then disconnected. I just wanted to see what it would do and stuff, and it did it. Then I disconnected. I've been doing that. I have a question for you. What do you think about BNC connectors for antenna stuff?
I think BNC is fine for lab equipment. I would say that it's a poor RF connector for permanent installations. Will it work? Yes. Is it prone to issues, especially with movement? Yes. It's not a rock solid connector. It doesn't stay. I guess it's really all dependent on the number of insertions and the cleanliness of the connector. For what we do at work, perfect. You're going to hook it up to a scope, disconnect it. For an RF installation, unless your desire is to be connecting and disconnecting like a portable operation, you know, maybe top of the scanner or for a POTA antenna or something, I would probably avoid it, but they do have their place, just my opinion.
Okay, and I appreciate that, and I pretty much, I think I agree with you. there's a guy that I've been watching, Ham Radio Crash Course. His name is Josh, K-I-6-N-A-Z. And I see he uses a lot of BNC connectors, but he does do a lot of portable stuff. He does a lot of POTA, and, you know, he'll do field work for testing antennas and stuff like that. So I guess in this situation it does make sense to have a bunch of BNCs.
When you want something quick and easy, one twist, not multiple twists, you're in control of it right there. Maybe that's fine. I'm sure there's some maybe some impedance issues if you start comparing the connectors and shielding concerns when comparing connectors. End connectors probably one of your better ones, but traditionally your radios don't come with end connectors. So it almost doesn't make sense. You can buy your antennas in N and or SO239. But radios normally don't have that option. I think if I had the option, I'd go N, but at the same time, it's going to be harder to find N connectors without buying custom cables. So PL259 is pretty standard. It's been standard for like CBs and such for a long time. Motorola has their own connector, but that's that. And your ham radio crash course, it was actually mentioned in the POTA book that I just finished. I am now on to the antenna book, and man, it's really making me think. I'm glad I'm reading this before running out and buying antennas.
Yeah, this Josh from Ham Radio Crash Course seems to be quite popular, and he does do some collaborations with some other ham YouTubers that I've come across. And he seems to be pretty knowledgeable. I've learned a lot watching his channels or his videos. I can't complain.
And that's what we had said from the beginning. It's all learning experience. You don't need to know everything to get licensed. You just get the foundation and then you build from there. And in fact, I really enjoyed that that Bell presentation about waves and reflected waves, you know, using that mechanical system. I liked it so much, I was showing Chris Houston and Bill Hind. We didn't watch the whole video, but we did watch a snippet of it. I was sharing that with them. But even as I'm reading these books, I'm thinking about that as well and trying to visualize that video presentation to see if it correlates with some of the information that this guy has in his book.
Yeah, that's kind of cool when you're reading something and you can apply it to your work or to ham radio or both. I do like that because I also came across a channel. I've been watching a lot of YouTube lately. A YouTuber called Mr. Carlson's Laboratories, and it's all about electronics. He's been troubleshooting. He's been showing videos where he's been troubleshooting like an old transistor radio and an old tube radio that someone had built from the Radio College of Canada, and he explained a lot about tubes that I'd never known before, because I kind of knew about tubes when I was a little kid, but they had pretty much transitioned to transistors by the time I got older. So it was really kind of interesting. And I've been watching a couple of others' videos. It's been really enlightening.
Yeah, Mr. Carlson's Laboratories or something like that. I might have to check that out. If you don't mind, Can you send me that a link to one of his videos? In fact, I welcome all of those videos. If you find more Bell stuff, that would be awesome. On wave theory, there's still some concepts that I just can't wrap my head around. And obviously, you know, there's math involved, but my mind wants to say, you know, but I want to do this. Why can't I do this? And, you know, they give you tidbits, but I can't put the whole thing together just yet. And I'm still reading, still working through it. And there's new, not that there's new technologies, but there's new antenna concepts that come out all the time that people don't consider. And, you know, it's not a be-all, end-all, you know, folded dipoles, stacked folded dipoles, and, you know, pointing them in different directions and all these different kind of concepts that work very well, especially for limited space situations. So, yeah, it's all learning. But, yeah, if you don't mind sending me, I think you said Mr. Gordon's experiments?
Yeah, I'll definitely send you the link to one of his videos in a little bit. But, yeah, it's been, you know, just learning more and more. Even go back to the ham radio crash course. I didn't realize this, but in Chirp, I can turn off a transmit on certain frequencies. And, you know, like the Lancaster dispatch that I have in here and a couple other frequencies that I don't want to inadvertently transmit on. I didn't realize I could turn that off. So I'm going to reprogram the radio so that I can turn off the transmit portion of a couple of those channels.
Oh, I didn't know that was possible either. I'd love to hear how that works out. I guess it seems to me that the radio wouldn't normally like that. I guess I would approach it in one of two ways. Either choose a frequency for the transmit that's a non-standard offset and is out of band, so the radio basically poo-poos your request and won't transmit there because it's out of the out of its range. Yeah, the problem with that is that it might be you might be unable to program that. So what I tend to do is I'll put the calling frequency in, like for example Lancaster Dispatch. I'll put in 453.5. On the transmit side, I'll put in 446.000. That way, if for some reason I'm on the wrong side, A or B, and I do key up and call you, for example, I'll just be transmitting out on the calling frequency. But yeah, I'm curious if it'd be kind of neat if in Chirp it'll allow you to just leave that channel blank or that transmitting frequency. And I'm making better time than I thought I did. I was really running behind. This is KGPTV.
Yeah, so I opened up Chirp and pulled up one of the files for my Redivis. And under duplex, you can pick a, from a pull-down menu, off. And if I remember correctly, by having that as off, it will not transmit on that channel. I was going to say I'm going to give it a try, but I'm not. I'll just leave it on and or leave it off and then just see how that, you know, just I'll feel better. This is KE2GDQ.
Well, go ahead. Program in something else or switch the, it'd be a good test. Switch Ross's node to off, so you're still hearing it, but as you say, not transmit on it, and try to bring it up. Try to key up on it. If it works, then you can go toggle that back on, leave that normal, and turn the dispatch to the off setting. Yeah, it only takes a couple seconds to program it, I believe, and then you would know for sure that that's what it was doing. But, yeah, I just pulled in here. This is K2PCB. And I'll see if anyone else is in there wants to comment on the topic.
KC2NVM, good morning. Has there been any talk on how we're, the trio here is trying to pick out Brad's HF radio, and we're trying to figure out how much money he needs to spend to get the right radio?
So you guys are trying to figure out which HF radio I should buy?
Yes, we've been doing research, way more research than we probably should. But yeah, we're trying to figure out what radio you need. And it's the only radio you should ever get and be done with it. Well, I'm joking, of course. No, we've been looking at radios for you.
Well, that's good. I would love the feedback and the input on a new radio. It's been a little overwhelming. But if you might have heard, I've been watching a YouTuber called Ham Radio Crash Course, and yesterday he actually had a segment on radios and reasons why you would buy one radio over another. Not necessarily saying this is the one to buy, but what is it that I want to do with ham radio? Do I want to do POTA, or do I just want to have a home base station? So that's what I'm still struggling deciding what I want to do.
Wholeheartedly, we're trying to figure that out too. And in the meantime, I do have that Zydu 6100 that if you didn't want to borrow, I'd certainly be willing to let you borrow it for a little bit and just kind of get your toes wet and dip into the HF side.
I appreciate that, Jeff. Yeah, I need to just to figure out where I'm going to put an antenna. I want to keep it kind of stealthy, low profile, so that it's not very obvious. And right now, with the weather the way it is, I can't really do anything outside. So for right now, I'll just stick with the 2 meter and the 70 centimeter bands and enjoy my conversations with you guys.
Well, when the weather breaks, do you have the option of putting a long wire at the peak of the house so that it just runs the entire length of the house?
Yes. I actually have some clips that I can attach to the gutter, run the wire along the gutter, and down the side of the house and into the basement where my radio is. So, yeah, I do have that option.
Now, when it comes to the wire, does it have to be bare wire, or could it have a plastic shield on it for insulation and just run that? Does the insulation interfere at all?
It can be insulated. It can be insulated from what I'm understanding. So that shouldn't be a problem. Then just terminate it with a coax and run it in the house.
Nice. Well, we're trying to figure out what radio. We've been doing a little bit of research, but I do have to get going. We missed you last night at Tuesday. It was a good match, but I have to go to work.
Yeah, I felt kind of bad missing, but I wasn't feeling very good during the day, so I figured I'd just stay home, rest up, get a good night's sleep, and I feel a lot better this morning. So, KC2NVM, 73s, have a great day. K2PCB, 73s to you, have a great day. And KC2PET, are you in there?
Yes, I am. Warm up my microphone this morning. So good morning. I'll see you in there, Jeff and Travis. And how you doing today, Brad?
Doing pretty good, like I was just telling Jeff. Wasn't doing very good yesterday morning, but took it easy yesterday, napped a little bit, got a pretty decent night's sleep, so feeling a lot better today, thank you. How are the roads today?
Roads are great, wet and salty.
Yeah, we do like to season our roads, don't we? So you might have heard me talking to Travis about Chirp and being able to turn off a transmit. So I may be playing with your note a little bit later this morning.
Well, play away. That's what it's there for. I heard that you put the transmit size at all zeros and won't transmit.
Yeah, it seems like in Chirp, there's the duplex column. You have the choice of plus, minus, blank, or off. And if you click off, it won't transmit certain channels. So I'm going to verify. I trust the guy, this ham radio crash course guy, Josh, KI6NAZ, and because he seems to really do his research. So I want to just try it. I'll try it with your repeater, and if it does work, then cool. Then I can set a couple other channels that I have tuned, programmed in to off so that I don't inadvertently transmit on those frequencies.
Yeah, it might give you an error code, and it might just do that, or it will just say, or won't accept the program, which hope that's not the case, because then you won't be able to program the frequency in. But try it. See if you did you have to put a transmitted frequency in for my node in order to talk to it?
So in Chirp, I obviously had to put in a frequency, 147.475, and then it has a tone mode, you know, there's a tone squelch, you know, the DTCS, you know, all these different things, but the duplex column has the one where you can turn it off. So we're just going to give that a try later, because I can program the radio and then try to transmit, and I shouldn't get anything. There should be nothing, because it won't be able to transmit on that frequency.
Yeah, give it a shot. See if, after I'm done talking with you, if you can open my node up without a transmit frequency. That'd be interesting if it works that way. Most of my radios have a checkbox to disable the transmitter. Those are in my Anytone. They're a little higher up, I guess, as far as radio-wise. I don't know if the Revit... You know what? Actually, the Revit might have that, too. You have to look in the programming software to see if that's an option or not.
Yeah, when you were mentioning that your radios have that option, the bell went off in my head. Oh, geez. There might be an option in Redivis that I can just go in and manually do it too. So I'll look into that too. I should program in some NOAA channels in here, and obviously I don't want to transmit on those. And I know this sounds funny, but I have a couple of the local railroad frequencies programmed in here too, and sometimes I'm listening to those guys in the yard chit-chat back and forth. They're on the 160 band, and I don't think that's not GRMS or MERS. I can't remember which frequencies that band is.
Yeah, you're talking MERS. MERS is just above our band. They're in the 151 range, 151 to 154. Those are all MERS channels. Maybe I think you can actually talk on those as well. They're multi-use radio frequencies. But that's clearly like listening to the railroads and stuff. I don't know how your radio is. Mine scans pretty slow. That might slow your... I don't know. You probably don't care. You just listen to everything. I actually like using scanners if I get a lot of frequencies in. They move a lot faster than the ham radios seem to do.
Yeah, I think mine scans pretty fast. From what I can tell, that's a good question. I don't know how fast it does scan.
I'll tell you like I tell everybody else. Just try it, see what happens.
Yeah, I will. I'll give it a try later today. I do have a guy coming to give me an estimate for a new door off the back porch. I'd had the company do some work for me this fall. Really liked their service, and so we want to get a new door for the back porch, and so they're coming this morning. So we'll see. I should have time.
I had a little late start today. I'm just pulling into work now. Usually I'm here. I got my car, I looked at my wife's car, you know, I'll just go and brush it off real quick. Took an extra minute or two just to brush your car off the snow. Got a little light coating this morning, just a dusting. And my neighbor's got a pretty good idea. He uses his leaf blower for his car.
Yeah, I've heard of using leaf blower, especially like today. I looked out this morning and it was pretty, just a light dusting. So yeah, I could see just using a leaf blower, just blow it off the driveway or blow it off the cars. Yeah, they'll work out really well.
Well, good luck playing with my Node. Yeah, experiment all you want with it. I heard you wanted to look in the hub there or something and go right ahead. It's it doesn't use much electricity, surprisingly, for as long as I have it on. But yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, use it as much as you want.
I appreciate that, Roz. I don't know if you heard, I did connect through Echolink a couple days ago. I just connected, and just to see what it did, and it showed me that it was connected, and then I disconnected, so I don't know if you heard it or not.
No, I was either probably at work. I'm work until like 5:30, so. And then when I get home, it's usually homework, bath time. I don't have time to really listen to it too often. Unless I'm want to listen to something, then I'll monitor it. But yep, I'm like I said, it sits dormant a lot, so like I said, go ahead and use it.
I appreciate that, Ross. It's helping me learn, that's for sure.
And with that, Brad, sorry to say I gotta say 73 to you. Gotta get in there. I will talk to you on Monday. Tomorrow's my early. And then Friday, I have to do one early as well. I got to get my daughter off the bus both days. So my wife's got work. Her schedule worked a little bit. This is only for this week. Hopefully the last one. But I'll say 73 to you. I will talk to you on Monday. And you can talk to Travis and Duff for next 2 days. So KD2GDQ, this is KC2PET. 73 is Brad. Have a good day.
KC2PET 73, this is KE2GDQ, and we're clear for today.